All right, and happy Tuesday, diary listeners. This is the second part of our time with J.D. Brocious, and I'm dubbing this diary entry Legos, and you'll see why. It's pretty awesome. Welcome to the Apprenticeship Diaries, where raw meets refined.
Let's be real, we're still working on refining.
What it took, what it takes, and the stories that are made.
Join us as we learn from professionals about how their stories began.
Check, check, check. It is in the settings that I put into play. But no, I like all that stuff, you know, like those little ticks, those, even when your peas pop, you know.
Yeah.
I do a lot of lip smacking when I'm articulating. So all that stuff. I think it's really great. I think it's awesome. Well, okay. So
sidetracked.
No, it was good. It was really good. Yeah. It was important sidetrack.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you go about things? I mean, did you build a portfolio? Did you take pictures? How did that look? You know, how did you grow that way? Since we're talking about like now moving into more of the, you know, because we were in the transition period, the like renaissance of tattooing, where it went from coil, old school, you know, traditional tattooing into more of the artistic realm. So I guess, how did that look, you know, for you?
So I did as everybody else did and took pictures of all my stuff. And then to Walmart or CVS, I went and had them printed out and stuffed in a photo album or whatever, you know. I don't do that so much anymore.
No.
I think the last time I did that was probably about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Where I actually printed out photos and put them together. And now I can just, like any of us can just, like, there's some
thing. Shutterfly is great for making a look.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's what I do. My first year of tattooing, I made a book.
Oh, wow.
And I do, like, when people come in and want to see my work or whatever, you know what I mean? I always hand them that book. I was like, this is my first year, blah, 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 blah.
If you like that one, you'll like this one.
Yeah. But I made extra copies of it and I gave them to my parents.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. So
that's rad. Did your dad like, you know, once you got up and rolling, did he like really enjoy it?
Yeah, he won't get tattooed, but
that's okay. My mom won't either.
He brags about it.
Aww.
This is my son. He does all this.
Yeah.
You should call him up. Awesome. You should talk to him.
My mom does it too for political campaigns. Like if she sees somebody who is wanting art for their logos or something like that, she's like, you should contact my daughter. She's an artist. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to help them that well. I mean, maybe. I'm sure they'll have options beyond me.
I'm not good at putting somebody's name between some bars and the American flag.
Hey, I it depends. I mean, I'd have to hear it. I'd have to see what they want. But I will say this, that it's a hard thing with that medium because it can be rebranded. I think the beautiful thing about tattooing is that you have to be so emphatic that, dude, once we do this, there's no undoing it.
No undoing it.
So, you know, unlike a rebrand where we can go over a logo and pick it apart and change it and whatnot, this is it, bro. Like, do or die, get busy living, you know, with this or not. But like, I think it's sometimes easier when you're like, okay, you know, is this the thing for me? And then you make a decision, or you don't, like your dad. Like, I'm not getting tattooed, but I can admire the craft. Mm-hmm. You know, what you get, yeah, your first.
It's not for everybody. I get that.
No,
I get plenty of people that come in with their significant others, or, you know, like mom coming in with daughter, and she's just curious that she wants to see how it's actually done. And mm-hmm. Yeah, there's plenty of that kind of stuff. It's not for everybody. I get it.
Yep. Yep.
Doesn't
different
have to
levels
be.
Of support. No, yeah. I agree. That's how it is at my church too. They're just like, mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I could never. I'm like, well, the fortunate thing is nobody is telling you you have to.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I've never gone up to somebody and said, you know what you should do? Get a tattoo.
You should get your face tattooed.
Never did it. Never did it. They come to me.
I mean, generally, that's what we tell people when they come in the door at the shop. It's like, oh, you getting your face tattooed? Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Very cool. So you did a lot of lettering and a lot of things like that.
So I was there like four years.
Right on.
And you know, things just kind of got out of control with some other people that worked there, and I don't want to like talk bad about it or anything like that, but there
stuff
were things
happens.
Going on. Yeah. I mean, you just, me being held in a certain standard, and then other people were just doing whatever the fuck they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you know, Jake and Todd, we'd have an art night every week, and
aww.
Jake and Todd, we're here every fucking week.
Aww.
And the people I work with couldn't be bothered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, one night they're here and they're like, you know, of course I'm being Eeyore and I'm like, I don't like it. This stuff's going on. And you know, and they're both like, well, hey, it's funny you mentioned this because we've been talking. We think it would be really cool and fun for you to come work with us. We'll have Nerf battles and shit. And like, I'm not even going to think about this. Give me like 2 months and mm-hmm. I'm there.
Right.
Let me clear out my fucking schedule and I'll be there.
Right. Very
so
cool.
That's what I did.
How did that go? Did you have a decent exit? Did it get really heated?
No, it wasn't, I mean, I didn't leave on bad terms. I gave him notice. Like as soon as they asked me, I let him know.
Right. Gotcha.
He didn't like it because like, you know,
it's hard.
He was going to lose me. He was going to open another location and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. Like I keep telling you these things and you're not listening to me. And
right.
And I got to do something about it.
Right.
And if anybody would understand, I would hope it'd be you.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, it's cool. And I mean, we remain friends.
That's awesome.
You know,
that's good. That's really,
I mean, we don't talk as often as we used to, but you know,
still it's, history and
yeah. Yeah.
That's
I'm
good.
I'm still grateful for everything like, you know, that he did for me and yeah, yep. It was good stuff.
They say it's for a season sometimes, a lot of the time. Yeah. So, you know, when it works its way to that end, you know.
Yeah.
It's really
and I mean,
hard.
After it was all said and done, he was like, I knew it would come sooner or later. And it was just a matter of when. Like, yeah. I mean, how many times, you know, all these other guys we know, like, how many times they move around, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's hard too when you teach somebody or when you're being taught by somebody. I think that there's such a connection there. I mean,
yeah,
I would imagine it would be, I mean, with you too, you had a long-standing mentor from school in art. So like, you know, you had had that kind of loyalty and, you know, perspectives in that realm for a very long time. And like you said, your family, everybody stuck together and kind of learned the trade of the family and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I think I'm sure, you know, he probably just really liked you. I probably was like, you know, this is awesome and sucks that I can't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just saw the opportunity to kind of be with people that were going to help me grow.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, yeah. I want to say everybody goes through this. You know, you get to a point and you're like, well, I'm not fucking learning anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you, what are you going to do? Sit there for another 2-3 years and, you know, kick yourself in the ass because you want to make a move, but you can't.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to
hurt anyone's feelings.
You don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah. You know? I agree. I think you're right. I think that's the hits that keep on coming. You know, a lot of people listening to this, they're trying to get into tattooing or they're in the new part of it. And so, you know, you're in that phase of it, which you want so much so quickly. Mm-hmm. But what you don't realize is that there hits points to where, you know, the next move is equally scary and you got to reinvent all over again and mm-hmm. keep driving. So, yeah, no, that's a good point. It's a good
and
point.
And I just, you know, with Jake, I just love the fact that of course the money is good, mm-hmm. but that's not what he's offering. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's not why his plate is as open as it is, you know, it's what.
Yeah.
And like.
Very decent human.
Yes. And those are the kind of people I want to, you know, those are the people I want to work with. Those are the people I want to hang out with.
Yeah.
People that are open to like learning. Like I'm a giant sponge and I want to soak everything I can
up. Yeah.
That's something that, you know, my grandfather instilled in me. He was like, dude, just be a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever anybody throws at you, if they're teaching you something, they're taking the time to explain something to you, soak it up, use it.
I love it. I love it. It's good advice. Very good advice. I
mean, you know, I do it for my mental health. I got to draw. I got to make something. You know what I mean? I have to be creative. So I don't, it's good that I can make money doing it, but mm-hmm. I don't do it for the money.
Correct. Well, and it sounded like even with plumbing, you know, you found the fun in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you found joy in mm-hmm. the work. So I think that's really it too, is that if you can be somebody who is a sponge and who enjoys learning, every day presents a new set of circumstances.
Something new.
And it creates that fun. Mm-hmm. My dad was really big about that because I think he always made things like playful. And I think that's what I like about Jake and all of you at Rapture, is that there's, you know, you go to work, you do the work, but there's always fun and play and, mm-hmm. You know, everybody is there to kind of, I don't know, loosen each other up and keep it active and flexible and just really, really cool. I enjoy the vibe there every single time I come. It's really wonderful. Yeah.
Door's That's always what, open.
I know. I just got to get closer to PA, man. Like That's I'm, right. I'm, it's in my head. It's constantly in my head. And I mean it when I say I want to make one of these Wednesday nights. They sound really fun. Hang out with you guys. I want to see this guy, like, you know, blow a gasket. Matt. Yeah, Matt. Mm-hmm, uh-huh. And you know,
he's always got some crazy name, like he changes it every time.
That's awesome.
It's ridiculous. Like It's like, who comes up with this shit?
Matt.
Yeah, Matt does.
Matt does.
Talking about fist babies and what?
What?
We had him officiate our wedding.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's how much we love this guy. Like,
aww.
And the shit that comes out of his mouth. We had him officiate our wedding.
I'm sure that was amazing.
He opens our wedding up with like, so this has nothing to do with the wedding. And these two standing here wait for me to start talking. But what's up with PA? Everybody just hits the deer and just leaves it on the side of the road. Nobody cleans it up. Like, what? Why are there so many dead animals everywhere? Like, dude,
I'm getting married here.
Like, this is why we love you. This is truly why we love you, dude.
That's awesome.
And he's from Boston, so he's, you know, I mean, he's got that, you know,
yeah, that accent, that yeah, that harshness, but very comical. That's awesome. And yeah, and it would be a huge shock from Boston to PA about roadkill.
They're not Boston, Rhode Island. So they
Rhode Island
have that accent. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still very, it still, like,
has that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a combo kind of thing. It's like New Yorker meets Boston meets, you know, like just New England-esque.
Yes.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Wicked.
But that's
awesome.
high blood pressure, you know what I mean? That's same realm.
Yep. So you went to Rapture. About when did you start at Rapture? Because I think I've always known Rapture to have you.
November 2015 is when I started there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I might have met Jake before you started, but I don't think I ever did a guest spot until you.
Yeah, I remember you would be there certain occasions because I was in the room next to Jake.
Yeah.
For the longest time.
That's right.
So I remembered you had already had your chest laid out and you were getting
worked
on getting the color in there and all that.
Yes. I was getting tattooed by Jake at that point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. It's very cool. I love Rapture. It's so great. It's
Me
so
too.
Great. It's such a good spot. Well, you better. I mean, you're part of the, what do you call them, the COG team? Like, what do you guys call yourselves?
I'm a lifer.
A lifer.
Yeah.
You got your COG. I'm gonna work on my COG.
I was like, dude, you don't have you can't even fire me. You have no choice. You are stuck with me.
It sounds like it's a match made in heaven, though, because, you know, you guys love each other. It sounds like the same kind of vibe. Because, you know, it is that want to constantly learn, constantly be a sponge, team up with people, have random awesome conversations, just bounce off each other, create. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. I'm trying to wheels my way in and, you know, invite into the crowd.
You ain't got to wheels yourself in there.
I'm trying to, like, just show up and be like, hey. Hey guys,
I made it. Good, it's about time. I'm waiting forever. Jesus.
I mean, we would love to get up there, man. Like, we want some land though. So if you guys ever, like, you know, see a plot of land,
anything comes up,
yeah, you want to go in on it with a bunch of people, we could have a commune. Oh, it would be dope. Uh-oh.
Machine guns and turrets,
oh my Lord.
Missile launchers. Oh man!
Oh my Lord!
Steel doors and start.
Yeah,
cult.
It could be crazy. I know Chan is like trying to get some stuff going.
Yeah. Cheeseburger Club.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing. Yep. Well, let's see. I have my standard questions. I want to make sure I go through. Oh, okay. So What do you feel about like today's tattoo scene? Like, one of my questions is, because when I started, I was coming off the art, you know, art school realm, and I was always baffled that tattooing didn't have more of a formal education kind of thing, because it seemed odd to me that it didn't. But now that it's happening, my boss John, he warned me. He was like, "No, you don't want that, because this is going to happen." And he was right. Like, honestly, I mean, I can thoroughly admit that everything that he was saying was absolutely right. I just didn't see it at the time because, you know, in my heart, I was just like, dude, this is such a great field for artists. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see it becoming this. So I don't know. Do you have perspectives about what you see, and, you know, how do you think it should be organized now?
I think that anyone that's taught like in an old school, you know, in an apprenticeship, you're going to be able to see that, as opposed to like learning it in a class or, you know, whatever's going on now. The other thing I see a lot of the same shit.
Same.
Work that is exactly the same.
It is a lot of regurgitated crap.
300 different people.
There's so many crystals
doing the same thing.
No,
but like, I even like style wise, and like, there's no. I feel there's no, like, some of this shit doesn't have any personality. There's no love that's put into it. It's like, okay, wait, I can tell like these 300 people that did the same exact tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just doing it to pay a bill.
Yep. Yep. No, I agree. I agree. Well, and I also feel like, I don't know. I just see a lot of, I see a lot of the same kind of stuff that's, I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving it enough, but I like the fusion that was happening in our time, where you have people like Jeff Gogway, who kind of blended Art Nouveau with Japanese. And, you know, you had people, and like you said, there's a style like Joshua Carlton, who is very painterly with his application of tattooing. And like you said, you can notice style about certain people and the way that they tattoo and what they do and how they do it. Now it just seems like this is what makes a tattoo. It's so weird because it's kind of going backwards a little bit into those old head kind of things, where they're like, no, you got to have this and this and this. And in our day, it was more about, you know, the reinventing the tattoo, like kind of breaking the old rules and being like, well, why can't you be a little bit more painterly? Why can't you do this?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just see a lot of the same. Yeah, I mean, like.
Oh, yeah.
How many different ways can you, a rose be a rose when these same people are taught the same exact thing? You know what I mean? How are you to differentiate any of that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the same lesson.
Yep.
That came out of a book or off YouTube or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's very interesting because.
So one of the, like, Chuck asked me, he says, so who's your biggest influence? Who do you want to tattoo like? And I looked at him and I said, honestly, I don't want to tattoo like anybody. I want to tattoo like me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want my stuff to look like everybody else's. And I mean, I don't know, my style, I'll say it's called suck. You know what I mean? But like,
it's yours.
That's just me. Yeah.
Well, and I was kind of the same way. I opened Nick Baxter's podcast with him. I said, Nick, I have a confession. I was told that I should give a shit about you when I was introduced to you. at like different tattoo conventions, and I can tell you honestly, I never did. I said, I care about you now because I've seen you over time and you are a person of high quality and definitely a respectable artist. And even then I thought your artwork was incredible, but I did not give a shit about you. And it didn't, why, you know, why? Cause we're all artists and we're all trying to do the same things. And it just, he was like, yeah, that would have been weird, you know, like disingenuous. And I was like, I know, right? Like, I was told that I should give a
like,
shit.
He probably doesn't remember me. I met him like early on in my career, like during those first 3 years. And it was always, it was like me and Chuck and somebody else. And we would always, you know, shoot the shit in between clients at a convention. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was always that.
Yep.
So yeah, that's a name I haven't heard in a while, but
you might be surprised. He probably does.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I was, you know, I insert myself, so he had no choice.
That's fine. But I did meet a lot of people like early on, and it's, I don't know. I keep to myself a lot. Yeah. Yeah. The convention scene got like really expensive. So like I stopped seeing the people that I would see all the time, you know, this is like, I'm not participating in this. This guy's got how many fucking apartments and how many fucking cities. I'm not paying him more money to do that kind of shit when I might break even after everything that I'm paying out.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm done.
Yep. Yep.
So
no, I agree. I agree. I've
pretty much just stay at the shop. We'll do like little local shows and stuff like that.
You know? I know. I love
where they're not trying to make, where they're not trying to make a shit ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Where it's fun. It's sweet.
Yeah. You it's know, fun. Like they're... It's little.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
No, I agree. They're, for me, a Battlefield is one that comes to mind. That was such a nice show right after COVID and right after all of that. Like, just, it was so refreshing and small, not bombastic. I'm looking into doing Baltimore this upcoming year, and you know, I can't say I'm overly looking forward to it. I just, you know, it's local, it's close to me. I know kind of how it works. But you know, it's like you said, they're very expensive. You're lucky if you break even. You know, it's really just an exhibiting kind of thing, you know, just to kind of stay in the motions of it. But I honestly am enjoying guest spotting a lot more. Do you like traveling with tattooing or just staying in the shop?
I mean, I don't mind it. I don't do really any guest spotting at mm-hmm. all. You know, I want to say the first 6 years of my career, you know what I mean? I did all the East Coast shows pretty much. But yeah, it just, you know, the every year the price kept going up and up and up and up and up and up and up, and it was just like, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Have you ever,
it's too much,
tried any of the Comic Cons to tattoo at them? I think you do really well.
So I did, they did one in Harrisburg here.
Yeah,
I did that and I stayed decently busy. But the accommodations weren't
great.
It was in the farm show building, and it was just like, it just felt,
it was not good for tattooing.
No, you're just breathing in dirt and shit.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I hear you.
But I mean, we were, I guess everybody did the, there was like a local horror show. Those guys did that. I couldn't do it. I had other obligations.
Right.
Yeah, like I'd be into doing stuff like that.
I know,
like, because my wife and I, being part of the collectors group, some of the toy shows now. They're they have people, so
yeah.
And I
that's what I was gonna say, the integration of those.
Yeah, I'm kind of close with some of the guys that run some of these shows. So
nice. If so you I'm ever have
to talk to them,
that would be fun as shit, man. Like,
yeah,
that would be really fun. It's if you ever want to. I mean, I have to show up to one of your podcasts first and
okay,
you see if you like my presence, but that sounds really fun.
I'm sure it'll be awesome either way. So,
well, I like the, you know, at this phase in our career, cause we're about the same age as far as tattooing. You know, it's, I really like diversifying the art. You know, tattooing's great, but I think the thing that keeps it fresh is kind of expanding in the kind of artistic realms that you explore, and so much unlocks different things when you're doing that.
So during my apprenticeship, one of the guys that I met through the comic book stuff, he is also a tattoo artist.
Right on.
His name's Buzz. Pretty sure he works over at the Seance parlor. He told, like, him and I were really good friends. I did a bunch of sculpture for their book and their comic book to help promote it. And I ended up making like these fridge magnets of the main character. And it was pretty awesome. So I'd, you know, doing mold making and all that kind of stuff. But like after knowing him for a few years, I get to become an apprentice, and like, I'm like, dude, is there like, I don't, you know, any advice, anything you could tell me? He said, look, the biggest thing I can tell you is you can't just tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
Yeah.
He's like, you will be fucking miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to. You're gonna get to a certain point, and it's like, I'm not gonna learn anything else. This is as far as I'm gonna go with this.
Right.
If that's all you do.
Well, and I think it
can be many things. Like, he does the comic stuff, so he ends up doing like a lot of comic cons and stuff like that. So he's like. Right. Drawing stuff on the fly, signing it for people, you know what I mean?
Nice.
On comic boards and stuff like that. But he said, he was like, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it, you know, you're drawing, painting, sculpting, it could, you know, something creative, food, it could be anything.
Oh, but 100%.
You have to do something else. You can't just do this one thing and you won't grow.
Right. Well, and beyond the growth, I think that, you know, that's how it's interacting with people so much, with it. It's not you and just your art, you know? It's a commercial way of using your art. I was explaining that to Jake too, when he was talking about, you know, his Nick Baxter painting. And I was like, yeah, but that is Nick Baxter though, because that's Nick Baxter behind the scenes in his own head with his own time, interacting with just that painting. When Nick is tattooing, that's not how he can be. He has to interact with the person. He has to obey that person. He's got to work the skin to a certain level that the skin can take. There's a lot of things he has to obey that has nothing to do with him and the creativity or anything. It has its boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a creative, you know, part of the things that makes us really get off is, like you said, that risk of going beyond the boundary and, you know, really experimenting and really removing ourselves from society and playing with things, you know, at our own speed and tinkering, like you said earlier, that tinkering, yeah. Let me take it apart and see what wires I can put towards this. And yeah, you're right. It's good for our brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I could say, Lego Oh my God. Like this will be my, and it has been my answer, you know, like, what do you do when you know, like Chinese New Year comes around, there's no new toys coming out. What do you do with that law? Lego.
Lego.
What do you do when you have this like blockage, this wall that you hit artistically? Lego. Yeah. Lego. Lego.
Just Lego.
Just buy some Lego. Kind of learn the techniques that they use for building certain ways. And then, you know, just try and build your own stuff. And it's
awesome.
Like understanding the way that the pieces work and what the.
Have you done that on the podcast yet?
What, build Lego?
Yeah.
I haven't. She's built Lego on the podcast. We're in the middle of building like a Lego city.
Ooh, so that's there's awesome.
Like four huge tables up on the third floor, and there's like just plates and buildings and cars and minifigs. Like anybody that comes to visit here, we take them down to this Lego store down the street and we have them make a Lego person of themselves.
Wow, that's awesome.
So they can be in our city. So next time you come visit, we're going to have to go there.
Well, fuck me. I'm going to have to buy like lots of different hair because my hair is always different.
That's whatever. We can change it. I mean, there's plenty of options. And if it's not an option, I can paint it. It's not a big deal.
They have to. They have to have pear-shaped Legos. Big hip, big hip, big ass Lego people.
Oh, stop.
They do. That's my shape. It wouldn't look like me. It really wouldn't. When I'm doing my Wii characters. All
the
Lego people
are the same. They're all the same.
I can't, you know, I can't work with that. I'm not shaped like a box. I'm shaped like a pear. I'll have to like mold like little Sculpey clay, like buttocks and like saddlebags and just put them on my Lego character.
I mean, there are, you can put like backpacks on them, but you can build on the backpacks.
Okay.
I don't know.
Put my backpack low.
Yeah.
Just, it's like my butt.
Or just like a plate that hangs down a little bit further and some studs to build up around it.
That'd be fun. It'd be really fun. Oh, I'm excited.
But
Lego, I love it.
So we started building this Lego city last year for her birthday. I bought her this. It's what's called a modular set. It's a boutique hotel. So there's like a little art gallery and like a restaurant, and it's got a little bar, but like it's a whole building.
Wow.
Usually like the store-bought Lego that you buy like at Target or Walmart, it's only going to be half the building.
Right.
So that kids, you know, or people
in it. Yeah.
Can, yeah. You can actually like play with it from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
These modular ones, they're a bit more expensive. I mean, you're paying probably at least $200 mm-hmm. for one of these sets. And they are aimed more at adult
mm-hmm.
collectors, but it is the whole building. So it's
wow,
all four walls, whatever. There are different rooms in each, but each layer, so the roof comes off very simply, and then each floor you can take off.
Wow.
Because they use like a minimal amount of studs to actually tack it down and hold it on.
Wow,
there. Anybody
cool.
That does Lego, they know what I'm talking about. They're like, oh my God. You know,
that's awesome.
So
my nephew was really, both my nephews were really big in Lego in the beginning. They've kind of segued away from that, but I wonder if they'd still be into it.
So I bought the set for my wife for her birthday last year. And she built that thing, took her probably like four in the evenings to put it together. And she got all done. And she was like, that was the most fun thing I have ever built in my entire life. I want them all. I want to build them all.
I want to build them all. I love it.
So from there, we just started buying plates and then like just the build on the plates, you know, road plates and all that kind of shit.
That's awesome.
And it was on our dining room table. We had like one city block laid out, but not enough buildings to fill the city block. We just had like sidewalks started. We had the road started and all this stuff.
That is so awesome.
Now we're, I mean, we're pretty deep into it. Like there's
a city,
like four tables up on the third floor.
That's awesome. Your house must be amazing.
But like just the, from that time of like, cause I would always buy Lego. I'm a big Star Wars fan and, you know, Marvel and like, I like the Lego City stuff. So it was always like, ooh, a trash truck. That's cool. I've never seen a trash. I want to build a trash truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they'd always have certain sets and I would build the sets. But like after learning the pieces, you're thinking about different ways that you can use it. Cause like they will, what's called snot building, they'll build sideways. Okay. So that's snot building is studs not on top.
Okay.
So like they'll build sideways rather than up.
Gotcha.
But like you'll still have stuff that's built up and you'll build off of that, off the side. So it gives you a different effect and you're able to do different things. And there's all these different techniques. And just trying to adopt those techniques into building this city. Like last year, I don't think I've ever drawn as much as I have.
Wow.
In a year's time. Like,
wow.
You know, it being something it you do almost every day, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I learned how to sculpt 3D with a program.
Wow.
Last year, like there were all these things that just came and it was like, I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this. And it got everything cranking. Wow. Everything was turning. And like, I don't know. It makes me happy. And I tell everybody like Lego. Buy Lego. Lego. Buy Lego. Lego will open those doors.
I love this. I love this advice. This is the best.
It's, I don't know. That's what works for me.
I mean, so. I dig it, man. I think that's a great, great, I would contact Lego since you're this emphatic because
I mean, they'd be like, oh, isn't that sweet? That's great. That's nice. Here's a free Lego set.
Yeah.
Get
a free Lego set. I mean, you have a podcast. That might be a really cool plug to see if you can integrate.
There are lots of people out there that are like crazier over Lego. Like that's their whole life. You know what I mean?
I hear you, but you are shouting it out from a cathartic
that's true.
Artistic, you know, reunion of the soul, creativity, spawning thing. Like it's a whole other angle than just being obsessed with Legos. It's kind of like, you know, if you wanna stop feeling stagnant as an artist, get Legos.
Get Lego.
Yeah. I think that's a whole other angle, my friend.
So that like that Lego was actually like that was my panic killer, my anxiety killer.
Got you.
So, you know,
that's awesome.
You're concentrating on following the instructions, but you're building something, you know, you're actually making something and it's fun. Mm-hmm. So I would just make a big fucking thing, a tea, you know, non-caffeinated tea or whatever, but, like the herbal tea.
Yeah.
So I just make a big one of those, get some honey in there.
Relax.
Yeah. And just sit at a desk or at a table and just build a Lego in complete silence or throw on headphones. You know what I mean? Listen to some calming music, some calming sounds.
I like it.
That was like my anxiety killer.
So if you were to teach somebody, would this be like a Mr. Miyagi move? Like, give them like a Lego set and be like, build it.
So I've been trying to do that with Jake to settle him down.
Oh, cool. Let's do it. Maybe I need to join you guys.
I keep buying him Lego cars and stuff that he, you know,
I bought him a Supra
and a, you know, like all these cars that he loves. They made a GTR and I bought him one of those. And
we got to strong arm him.
Uh-huh.
Did he tell you? Did he tell you that I was bugging him? I got him on Reinventing the Tattoo. He wasn't there this past Monday, but he got to interact with Guy Atchison a little bit on
nice.
There.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm signing you up so that you can get on here and you can read this and see it for what it is now. If you want to, like, you know, because I'm trying to get him to teach, because he would be an amazing teacher.
He would.
Both of you honestly would be. At this point, you would be a good one too. You don't think so, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that advice is very rare and good. And I think you'd
Chan you'd says right. The same thing. And I don't know. I have my moments, I guess. I don't know.
What's your hesitancy? I'm curious.
I don't know. My brain just holds me back sometimes. And I'm like, I don't know how to explain this. The people are watching me. You know.
Well, so, that's not necessarily in my time of doing it. I didn't feel like I had to provide all the answers. I think it was just kind of being there and observing what questions I would get and then hunting the answers and saying, I don't know. I do know. I don't know how to describe it to you. Let me take that question and, you know, really think about it, and then I'll come back. But I wasn't always able to do that either. But I think that's honest, you know, and I think it shows too that, you know, you're still learning, you know, it's a whole different thing to teach somebody as opposed to doing. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And who knows, you might learn something while teaching. Yeah.
Yep. But I think you'd be great at it.
I always love those little epiphanies where you're like, oh, wait a minute. If that is that equals that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know. Oh, I love those things. Like, oh, I never really thought about that before. Or like, why do I do that way? Do I do it because of the fact that it feels right? Or what it actually married me to this action? I don't know. But yeah, you kind of are put in the state of analysis about your own process, and it's really interesting. I think the biggest thing is that it's hard to teach artists because it's like herding cats, and you know, it might not end, you know, with being friends by the end, but you know, I think it's like you said, you know how to be in terms of somebody teaching you. You got to be a sponge. So as long as you're looking for somebody that's equally a sponge and they want to learn from you, I think you can make it work. Because that's what you would have to expect from them. Are you a sponge? Yeah. You know, I'm taking the time to show you something. I don't have to be. So be a sponge. But I think you'd be a good teacher, and you got a couple cool moves now, like, and some really neat, like, playful ways to keep the artistic vibe going, and it'd be fun. It'd be very fun.
I mean, these are just things that I kind of, I don't know. Again, things that felt right, or just ended up with the Lego, like obsessing over it for you know, almost a year's time, and then realizing that it was helping me with everything else. You know,
absolutely. No, and it's great, and that's why I love that as a great tip, man. I can honestly see that being miraculous. That would be really, really, really fun.
It's so fun.
I'm so happy that you guys do that.
And then it's there's just something satisfying about running your hands through like a big box of Lego, like raking your hand through them. It's I love it. I love it.
I saw a Twitter post that was what's the worst thing to step into?
Step on? Yeah.
Yeah. Lego. Mm-hmm. And somebody said Lego, and I was like, oh shit, man. That is a good answer. It's been so long since I have been.
You can ask my mom that question. We left Lego on the stairs and she stepped on it and fell down the stairs.
No.
And like broke her leg and sprained it or something like that. I forget.
We were little. No.
Yeah.
My answer was dependent upon where I am. I'm like, you know, most of the time, you know, if I'm barefoot, I'm in my house. But if I were to say stepping on anything would probably be like a fire ant hill or something like that would be pretty.
That wouldn't be fun either. No,
that wouldn't be good.
No, no.
Yeah. Like, but
if one of them bites you, they're all biting you. That's a lot.
Yes. Lego, though, when I read the answer, I was like, oh my God.
What was that? Indiana Jones. They ate people.
They did. They did. They ate people. They ate monkey brains fresh from the monkey. Mm-hmm. They ate snakes. They cut open a snake and ate the snakes live. That was a lot of crazy shit in that movie. I love that.
For love, Dr. Jones.
The short round was the best.
Yes.
I wish that they created plots like that now. They just seem to be regurgitating everything. They are coming out with another Roadhouse. I heard
Pretty okay.
What are your feelings? Tell us.
We watched the preview for it the other night.
I know. Our like time going up, I think it was like the most epic. It was the most epic. Everybody
there was a lot
along.
Of good stuff.
Telling you.
I mean, not all of it holds up, but there's some good stuff out there now. I mean, we just finished. It's called Silo.
Oh.
That's on Apple TV, I think.
Okay. Silo.
That was really good. I don't know if you've ever seen The Expanse or anybody out there has seen The Expanse. They're probably going to know what I'm talking about, where it's so good. Like when it's done, you are left with this very empty feeling like, but there's no more. I don't know where to go from here. Like what is going to top this? And that Silo gave us that.
I think I've heard about Silo before.
It's really good.
Okay. All right.
There's also The Foundation on there. That was really good. Hopefully there's going to be more of that comes out.
I'm going to check these out. Because we've been watching Frasier and a lot of that don't hold up, but it's super funny.
It's funny.
It's funny as shit.
Yeah. I also love my cartoons, you know, like right now my favorite cartoon is called Dorohedoro. It's an anime.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking crazy. Like the main character is like this giant hulking dude with a lizard head.
Wow. That's really cool.
He's running around looking for the person who turned his head into a lizard, and he doesn't know who he is.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That is a really interesting premise.
When you, like, the first episode, when it starts, and you're like, what the fuck am I watching? This is nuts. This is the craziest fucking story. Like, in order for him to figure out who the person is, he has to bite their head. Another guy comes out of his throat and is like, you're the one or you're not the one. And everybody's been, you're not the one. So then he just kills him.
Right. And he has to eat him.
He doesn't eat him. He just like cuts him up. He just kills him.
He just kills him.
No. Yeah. He just kills him.
So Chops.
chops them into little bits with like two little combat knives.
So when he finds who the one is, what's going to happen then?
I would imagine he would probably kill them too, to like release the spell that is on his head.
Let's hope that releases it.
Yeah. But it's like this.
Anime's like that though. Anime has some really crazy premises. So weird.
And it was, from what I understand, it was written in like the mid 90s.
Okay.
By a woman, Q. She signs everything Q. Miss Q or Mrs. Q or something like that. I forget.
Interesting.
I have a bunch of the books upstairs, but like, the stuff she writes is insane. She writes and draws all her own stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
She has a new one, a new anime manga that's out right now. I have it on here. It's like Killer Kai or where is it?
That's cool, or, man.
Oh, it's called Die Dark.
Die Dark.
Die Dark.
That's awesome. So would you say...
Q Hayashida is her name. Q
Hayashida. I like her name.
Dude, her fucking artwork is crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you gotten anybody that wanted it?
No. No. I want it.
You want it?
I want it.
Ooh. Very, very cool.
Like I'm a big fan of hers.
I'd like to see it. That would be really cool. I'll have to look her up. So would you say that you just love art and that that's what inspires you? Not any one artist, just
yeah. I mean the thing I miss about conventions and stuff like that is like I was always guaranteed to draw something really big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during my time there, I would always draw something really big, new, something that was fun.
Right.
Cause I'm just surrounded by all this of art. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was but then I inspiring. See what everybody else is doing and I'm like, I quit. I suck. I'm done. Somebody break my hands.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah, I try not to listen to it. I just,
yeah, me too.
Just put my head down and just do things.
Hell yeah, man. You know. Lego.
Yeah, Lego. And then do some Lego.
Do some Lego. Well, JD, do you have, I mean, we already got through a lot of it, the advice, everything. I think we covered a lot of your apprenticeship. Is there beyond Lego? Is there anything that you have for, you know, the art realm, tattoo artists, tattoo apprenticeship, anybody who's getting into something? I mean,
if you're looking to get into anything, like the sponge is, that's the way to be. Put your fucking ego aside, whether you have one or not, just put it aside and just, if somebody's trying to teach you something, they're taking time out of their day to teach you something, shut your mouth and soak it in.
I dig it.
Humbly, just take it. They're giving you a gift. Mm-hmm. Just shut up and take it. Do what you will with it.
I love whether that sound bite.
It or not. What?
Shut up and take
it. Shut up and take it. Seriously though, like
right now, you gotta do it.
I mean, like it's one of the things that bugs me the most about this industry. There's a lot of ego.
Mm.
We don't need it.
I agree. Ego definitely needs to be anything. Managed. Yeah, yeah, it definitely needs to be managed a lot more than it is. I think it's very incentivized.
Saying that you're humble doesn't make you humble. I'm sorry.
In fact, it probably means that you're not.
Yeah. But yeah. Like, just take it. If somebody's got something to say.
Yep.
You want to walk away with something, that's what you do. You just put everything aside, soak that up. It's like Chevy Chase in Caddyshack. Be the ball.
Well, I love it. This has been a fun time. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
Here. Yeah, man. Yeah. Did we leave anything out that you want to share? I want to make sure that we covered everything.
I don't think so.
I'm glad we explored your other passions though, because you're very diverse, and I think that is key.
Well, I feel that. I mean, that's what keeps the creative juices flowing. You know what I mean? Like,
it's very authentic to you.
If you want to sit and play Tetris, you sit and play Tetris. It's going to keep your mind going. Sudoku, mm-hmm. You sit and love do Sudoku. That's going to keep your mind going. You know,
but I'm excited about Legos.
Legos is a good time. It's good stuff. Yeah. Other than that, I don't know if we'd missed anything or not.
All right. Well, this doesn't have to be the last one. So,
okay.
If after this we expand, I want to come and play with y'all. I need to make it up there. And I told Jake, the next time that I'm doing a guest spot up there, I don't know when it'll be, but I'm going to either get an Airbnb or stay with him and Bree. I don't know which one I'll do, but I want to stay up there so okay. I can hang out with you guys more. So
all right.
That's a goal. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
We love you.
And thanks for this diary entry. This is great. I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, it was a good time. I enjoy it.
You're awesome, JD.
No, well, you're awesome.
I'll leave you to your night and, you know, building more of your Lego city and whatever else that you have to do tonight. But I really appreciate you.
Probably just go up and eat dinner and.
Good man.
Hang out. Just
say hi to the wife for me.
I will. I will do so.
She's awesome. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. All right, man. I wouldn't have married her.
I know, right? Well, she's always a joy to me, so I'm excited. I'm excited to get up there and spend more time with y'all.
Hell yeah.
I know.
We'll be excited.
I'm so excited. I got to contain it. I got to get up there. But you guys are amazing. I'm happy to share you with more people. Who knows? You could get famous after this. I don't know. I can't promise anything, but it could happen.
I mean, I do all the other podcasts too, and it doesn't really get me anywhere. So
kind of realm.
We have like a set amount of listeners. You know what I mean? It's about as far as that goes.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Yeah. It's a passion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, have a good night and a great dinner.
Thank you. You too.
Bye, my friend. When I end this, it's going to be really weird because it's just going to go dark. So,
okay.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.
Later on.
All right. And excited as I was, I still haven't gone up there to visit JD and Chandra, but I need to, and I would like to. And now you guys understand all the different ways that you can catch them. There's Shelf Gravy. There is Realm of Collectors. Hey, man, let's try to make JD famous. Wouldn't that blow his mind? It's not why we do it, guys. Anyway, love you, listeners. Please come back next week. I hope to have another amazing artist to share with you. Currently, I'm in Oklahoma, so I'm going to be making some memories. I've definitely met a bunch of artists here, and I'm hoping to snag some interviews now that they've seen my face. But anyway, God bless, listeners. Good week.
Thanks for listening. You can find The Apprenticeship Diaries on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our IG is the_apprenticeship_diaries. If you would like to offer constructive criticism or an interview, drop us an email at theapprenticeshipdiaries@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from our listeners.